You're turning your Bibles now to Habakkuk chapter 3. We're looking at verses 1 through 19 this morning. Habakkuk chapter 3. And just an announcement about Wednesday night. Carl did a great job announcing it. I'm just going to add to his announcement. What we're doing with the kids this semester is the junior high and senior high students will be working with Aaron and Cindy Wilcox. The junior high and senior high students and Aaron and Cindy Wilcox will be working with the younger kids that aren't in Miss Cookie's class. Miss Cookie has under kindergarten. Is that right, Dave? Yeah, kindergarten and under. Kindergarten and under goes with Miss Cookie and Miss Carla. And then all the other kids will be with Cindy and Aaron, and they'll be going over songs of hymns and praise songs that we sing. So I think it's going to be a great time for the kids for that 45 minutes. If you've never been to our Bible study and dinner, it's a great opportunity to come and fellowship, eat some good food, and then just have a good time of studying God's Word. So I want to encourage you in coming to that. So with all that being said, let's look now at Habakkuk chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according to Shigiono. O Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work. O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers or your indignation against the sea when you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation? You stripped the sheath from your bow, calling for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place at the light of your arrows as they sped at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me. Rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret, you trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that your word is absolute truth and profitable for us. And Father, as we approach your word this morning, this prayer of Habakkuk, Father, I pray, I plead with you, send your spirit to illuminate this text to us. Help us understand it in our minds, sure, but Father, through the power of your spirit, let your word penetrate deeply into our hearts. Grow us in our faith. Grow us in sanctification. And if we are here this morning and we don't know Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, if we don't know you truly in a salvation way, bring us to faith, bring us to salvation through Christ and Christ alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Habakkuk has been sick and tired of what has been going on, right? That's essentially chapters 1 and 2. He's sick and tired of the iniquity that's all around him. He's sick and tired of the hardships that he's been facing, that is the people around him, his people have been facing. So he cries out to God. God answers him. God answers and tells him to be patient. God answers and tells him the Chaldeans are coming. The Chaldeans, who are a war-mongering people. The Chaldeans, who are going to come and probably destroy and wipe out the Judeans. At least that's what Habakkuk's thinking. So Habakkuk then thought, well, how could this warlike, sinful people come and destroy us? This holy, holy, holy group of people, the Judeans. And then God points out his sin. God points out the sinfulness of Habakkuk. And God reminds him again, I am working. Be patient. And then we come to this text, chapter 3, right? Chapter 3, this is this text, this final section of Habakkuk. And we see that Habakkuk's response then, his final response to God, his final response to what the Chaldeans are coming, be patient, I am working, his final response is a prayer. Look at verse 1 again. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigionah. This prayer takes the form of a psalm. And actually, if you look at the very end, we're going to be jumping all around here in this text. But if you look at the very end, it's put to music, right? To the choir master. So it's essentially it's a prayer, but it's essentially a psalm, and it's a psalm put to music. And we see these two terms here. We see this really weird word that I've actually practiced a lot this week, and I actually have it spelled out phonetically in my notes from this morning. Shigionah. If I had a nickel for every time I'd heard this in a casual conversation, I'd have no money. Okay, and we also see another word, Selah, right? That's a little more familiar to us. But we don't know what these terms really mean. Everyone has good ideas and good guesses, I guess, really, about Selah. That could be just a pause. But no one really knows for sure what these two terms mean, but they are used in music in the days of in Hebrew. So they're used in music, and it's a musical term. So that's what we have here. We have poetry, we have music, but we have ultimately a prayer. Now we can learn some nice little things about the structure, the Hebrew structure of poetry here, and the Hebrew structure of this prayer. But we can see so much more from this prayer just practically for us. In a sense, we see when we look at this prayer, so many elements that we can have in our prayer. In our prayers, in our prayer life. Now, I'm not saying that Habakkuk's prayer here is the model of prayer, that we need to pray when we pray. We need to pray this way every time we pray. That's not true. But as we look at this prayer, and we're going to break it down into five things, five elements, we see some great elements or components that we can add to our prayer. First, what do we see here? We see honesty in this prayer. We see honesty in this prayer. Look at verse 2 and look at verse 16. Again, we're jumping all over here. But verse 2, O Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work. O Lord, do I fear? Verse 16, I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. So do you see the honesty there? He fears. He fears. Yes, God, and we got to be careful here, so stick with me. Yes, God tells him that the righteous live by faith. Okay, remember there was two components to that. There was, we are saved by faith, right, by God's grace. But then we also, those who are saved by faith, live by faith. We live trusting God. We live trusting God's sovereignty. We live trusting God's great plan. Okay, so yes, Habakkuk is to live by faith. And he acknowledges that, it seems like. He's not debating God on that point. He goes with it. So he will live by faith. But, verse 1, he is afraid. He has fear. The future looks bleak. The future does not look promising. It's frightening. So he cries out to God in prayer and he says, I fear. He's not being fake and putting on this fake, this front. He's not putting on this false holiness, saying, oh, I'm okay, I live by faith. No, God, verse 1, I fear. And then verse 16, look at the specifics of his fear. This is how frightened he is. His body trembles. His lips quiver. His legs trembled. It's like when I free climbed without ropes El Capitan. I'm just kidding. I never did that because I'm not crazy. But just think about the moments of our life where we were afraid. Honestly, maybe before public speaking. Maybe before our first date. Maybe before the results of a test, a medical test. And we fear. Our legs do tremble. Can't you relate to Habakkuk here? I sure can. He fears. He's honest and he fears. Now, some of you, or maybe not some of you, but some people I know say, well, you can't live by faith and have fear. You can't do that. If you live by faith, if you truly are a Christian and live by faith, then naturally you will not fear. I disagree. Habakkuk here he's being honest and he has fear of what might come. But yet, don't we see that he's still living by faith? He's not running from God. He's not letting this fear control him or dictate his actions. I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come. Isn't that living by faith? Though he fears. I'm sorry, but also when we just apply this to other things, I'm sorry, but I don't think our brothers and sisters in Christ in North Korea, who I feel it's a very similar context, but I think it's not fair to them to say, well, they would never fear right before the steamroller rolls over them. And that if they do fear, that they don't have faith. No, they have faith as the steamroller goes over them, and that is true. That is what our brothers and sisters go through. They have faith, they live by faith, and yes, there's some fear there. And we, as followers of Christ, we are to live by faith, and yes, we should completely trust God. Joshua 1, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. But we are sinners and we fall short, and we fear. So let's admit our fears. Let's be honest in this when we pray, when we cry out to God. I am scared to death of cancer. Right? Am I the only one that would say that? I fear something horrible happening to my children. Is that wrong to say? But I will live by faith. I will live quietly, waiting for the day of trouble to come. Maybe it's not fear. When it comes to honesty, when it comes to our prayers, that's Habakkuk. He's honest about fear. But maybe it's just us. Maybe when we come to prayer, we're sad. And we have to cry out and say, I am sad. Or I don't get it, God. What are you doing? Whatever it is, the point of Habakkuk's prayer, or one of the elements, of Habakkuk's prayer here is honesty. Honesty. But second, we see adoration. The majority of this prayer here is adoration in one sense or another. Habakkuk acknowledges and adores who God is. He already did this, 2:12, right? 2:12, he proclaimed and adored God for his eternality, for his holiness. We discussed that last week. But then in this chapter 3, he continues in this prayer, and he adores God for his holiness again. He's the Holy One, so that's important to him. But then he also proclaims God's majesty. I should have sung that song. We should have sung that song today, but we didn't. But God is beautiful. That's what it is. That's what he's saying. You're majestic, God. You are beautiful. You are grand. Verse 3, his splendor covered the heavens. His brightness, verse 4, was like the light. He is so majestic and so grand. Verse. I don't know what verse. I don't have it written down. But he stood and he measured the earth. Habakkuk here is adoring his God. You are so grand, O God. You are so majestic. And actually what he's doing here, he's actually contrasting the one true God, his God, with the Babylonian gods. When he brings out these attributes of God, like his eternality, his holiness, his majesty. But he also adores God for his sovereignty. Again, bringing up his sovereignty. God is in control of all nations, all rivers, all wars. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Yahweh is sovereign. But then in verses 12 through 15, he adores God because God, and he brings out he adores God by proclaiming that God is victorious. That God is victorious. He's victorious over the worst nations on earth, the Chaldeans, the Assyrians. God is victorious over sin. He is victorious over all the things of the world. Isn't that amazing? And he proclaims that. And what he's doing, he proclaims that, is he's adoring God. And don't we see that ultimately in Christ and the cross? Maybe never else do we see as greatly God's victory than over sin on the cross and on the resurrection day. Habakkuk here went to the Lord in prayer, and he was honest, and he adored God. Just take a moment and think about our own prayer life. Think about my prayer life. Do I break out in adoration of my Father, of my God? Adore Him and His great attributes, who He is. Adoration. Third, we see praise here. Verse 17 through 19. And quite frankly, one of the most beautiful sections of Scripture, 17 through 19. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Here Habakkuk praises God. He just breaks out and praises God. He proclaims that even if worst case scenario, I will praise you, O God. I mean, look at the worst case scenario. No figs on the trees. I will rejoice in the Lord. No fields. The fields produce no food. I will rejoice in the Lord. No animals or flocks, no herds. I will rejoice in the Lord. In the modern context, we are so spoiled, right, in 21st century America. But the modern context is there's no Walmart, no Safeways, no city markets, no food. And yet we rejoice in the Lord. Isn't that amazing? And here, when I say that, no Walmart, no Safeway, no city market, yeah, it's going to be like the biggest terrorist attack ever, if that ever happens, right? But here, that's a reality for Habakkuk. There might not be food. It's not a hypothetical. And he will rejoice in the Lord, or he will say in the actual Hebrew, he will triumph in Yahweh. He will triumph in Yahweh. Again, reflect on our own prayer life. Reflect on how we pray. I reflect on how I pray. Do we praise? A lot of us, or maybe most of us, maybe all of us, we're just negative, more prone to negative thinking, right? More Eeyore-like. But maybe we should praise God for what we have. Because here what he's doing, he's praising God even though there may not be food to eat. He's praising God even though he may die. So here, that's another aspect of prayer, praise. Now fourth, we see petitions. So we're excited now, finally. That's a good part of our prayer life, petitions. He asked for something. Verse 2. In the midst of the year, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. So ultimately, what does Habakkuk ask for? What's his petition? He asks for mercy. He asks for grace. It's a pretty broad prayer there, right? Grace, mercy kind of covers everything. What a beautiful prayer, though. What a beautiful petition. Oh, Father, have mercy on us, the Judeans. Have mercy on us, O God, your people. Have mercy. So yes, he petitions. But he petitions for mercy, for grace. Now, James 1:5 tells us to, you know, ask for wisdom. Jesus himself, John 14, ask anything in my name, You know, we got to be careful for that. So it's not wrong to petition, right? It's okay to go to God with our prayer concerns, our prayer requests. Of course, He wants that. But let's ask for mercy. Let's petition for grace. Father, have mercy on our marriage. Have mercy on our children. Have mercy on this church. Have mercy on our schools. Have mercy on our community. Have mercy on our non-believing friends. Isn't that, we kind of talked about that this morning in Sunday school. Have mercy, Father. Have mercy on us. So ask God, as Habakkuk did, petition. But fifth, we see Yahweh. Fifth, we see Yahweh. And what do I mean by that? Yahweh, God. That's the Hebrew name for Lord. It's one of the most reverent names of God in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, Yahweh. So we see Yahweh all throughout this prayer, don't we? God being adorned. God being asked for mercy. God, God, God. Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. Let our prayers be God-centered, Yahweh-focused. I think a lot of modern evangelicalism is focused on ourselves, right? We see these heaven books. I know it's not prayer, and I know it's not what we're talking about, but we see these heaven books, and these heaven books, all these books about kids and people who die and go to heaven and come back and just conveniently write books and make money off them. So, of course, it's reliable. I'm kidding. It's not reliable. And one of the number one ways we can look at these books about heaven and see that they're not reliable is because heaven's about them. The heaven that they describe, it's not about the, it's about the kid or his grandpa or others that they know. It's never about God. And we always do that. We turn our worship into us. What do we like? What songs make us feel good? Or what sermons make us feel good? And the whole point of worship, the whole point of prayer, the whole point of heaven, the whole point of everything is God, is Yahweh. How different our prayers would look if Yahweh is the center of them. Yahweh. So here we have honesty, adoration, praise, petition, and Yahweh. If you're keeping track, that's HAPPY. That's my acronym. I didn't essentially plan that. But if you pray like that, you'll have happy prayers. I'm kidding. But honesty, adoration, praise, petition, and Yahweh, that's the prayer. That's the prayer. So I won't be cheesy and do that corny acronym thing, but I will make a few last points. First, don't just see the structure and content of this prayer, but see the importance of prayer here. I focus on the content, I focus on the structure, but look at the importance of prayer. Remember where Habakkuk has come from. He was sick and tired of iniquities. He was sick and tired of injustice. And now we see him praying to God. He cried out to God in the very beginning, and here he ends his prayer, crying out to God. And it's the same person, but different tone. He cries out to God, and he's at peace. Prayer helps us have peace. When we're upset, when we're nervous, when we have anxiety, we pray to God, we cry out to Him, and He blesses us with His mercy, which is peace. But think about it this way. Isn't prayer such a great perk of being a Christian? I mean, think about that. When we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus, we can talk to God. We can cry out to Him any time we want. When we're laying down, when we're standing up, when we're walking down the road, we can cry out to God in prayer. The God of the universe, who's majestic, who's sovereign, who's mighty, who's holy, we can cry out to Him. Isn't that amazing? Habakkuk got that. He got that at the beginning when he was just frustrated. And he gets that at the end when he's at peace and content. Prayer. You know, this is one of those things we don't do as Christians, though. We don't. In fact, Bob Allums is a teaching elder. I mentioned him before. He works for Praying Life Ministry. When they first wrote Praying Life book, it's a great book. I really recommend it. The publisher, I think it's Crossway, maybe it's InterVarsity, they said, don't do it because it won't sell, because Christians don't care to read books about prayer. Now, they were wrong, because it's like the best-selling book on prayer. But Christians sometimes don't pray. 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 If your life is horrible right now, it is just hard, it's miserable, pray. If it's hard to live by faith right now, you don't know what the end result is, what is God, what are you doing? Pray. If life is great, wonderful, perfect, pray. 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 And you know, here's the thing, I mean, just on a practical level, you can go on the iPhone store and find apps to help you pray, okay? There's no excuse. When Apple wants to help you pray, we can pray. And of course, yes, I can say I can throw in a plug for our bi-monthly prayer group, but I won't. But I could. I could say we can come together as a group and pray, because what a great perk it is to be at TRPC and have a prayer group and pray together as a church. I mean, I won't do that. I mean, I could say it just takes an hour. But I won't. And I could say that this prayer group, since it started last April over spring break when I was gone, has, I think, been the great one of the greatest blessings to this church in the history of TRPC. And I mean that. Because I don't think it's coincidence that things are moving and going when we meaning Bob and Frank and the rest of the elders, not me, decided we need to get together and pray. That's why we have a plurality of great elders. Let's get together and pray. Pray. Secondly, I've already mentioned this, but we see this changed attitude in Habakkuk. And again, I want to stress that. He's always a man of faith. I'm not going to say for one second that he started this book out not saved and then became saved. No, he was saved and he was saved. But he went from just frustrated to at peace. The books at Barnes & Noble won't help us get there. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, social media, that won't help us be at peace. It'll be the exact opposite. The things that will help us be at peace is God's word, his people, and prayer. Now, I know some of you right now are hurting. I can throw up a hypothetical, but I won't. Some of you here in this room right now are hurting. Some of you right now in this room are just wondering, what's going to go on? You know, you're frustrated, you're angry. What's going to go on with my life? Again, pray. Even when you go through the hardships, prayer will have us be at peace. It will give us that changed attitude. Why? Because God is working. God is working. But finally, Habakkuk had an amazing personal relationship with God, didn't he? I mean, think about this. Habakkuk, he's honest with God. He cries out to God. And then do you ever think about how amazing and extraordinary it is that God responded to him? I mean, he responded to him. That's a close personal relationship. Do you have that personal relationship with God? I do. And I do not because I'm the pastor and I'm just holy, though I do float when I walk. I have this personal relationship despite my sinfulness because of God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He died on the cross. He shed his blood so I could be forgiven, so I could be redeemed, so I could have a personal relationship with God. Do you have that? If you're in Christ, you sure do. That's why we can go pray to him. That's why. But if you're here and you don't have that relationship, not only do you not have a relationship with God, you aren't forgiven for your sins. So I ask you, do you want to be saved? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want that close personal relationship with God? Then repent of your sins and come to Jesus. And then cry out to him. Be honest. Adore him. Praise him. Petition him. And make your prayers about Yahweh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for Habakkuk. Thank you for his honesty in prayer. How often we feel like we can't be that honest with you in prayer, though you know our hearts, though you know what we're thinking. So Father, help us just be honest in our prayers. Help us also come to you adoring you for who you are. This amazing, holy, majestic, grand, sovereign, victorious God. You are not dead. You are alive. You are not a loser. You are the winner. You are God. I thank you that we can praise you and rejoice in you and petition you and ask you for mercy. Thank you. Father, help us, though. Have mercy on us, O God. Help us, instead of running to social media or others, run to you in prayer. Help us as we're struggling, living by faith. Cry out to you in prayer. And Father, for those of us here who don't have that personal relationship with you, who are not saved from their sins, I pray, Father, you will work in their hearts to show them their sin, show them for their need for Jesus, and to finally repent and trust Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.